Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
My special guest today is Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer, the Sea Tour and IT Director, and the Director of the Cyber Command. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Not a problem. Glad to be with you.
Well, let's start with your position a little bit. You are the CIO, the Director of C4, Command, Communications, Computers. There's another C in there, I'm sure, and IT. You direct the Cyber Command. Give us an understanding of all those jobs. What do they involve?
It is across a broad spectrum. Obviously, most of your listeners understand clearly the role of Chief Information Officer and the requirements related to that. The other plethora of Cs and IT that you have in there really go across a broad spectrum of information technology and electronics that are related to Coast Guard missions. My office, myself, cover the broad range from radars to radios, land-based satellite systems. So that's really the command, control, communications, and computers and information technology piece that allow our Coast Guard units, both shore-based, airborne, and aboard land, as well as our cutters, to be able to prosecute their missions and accomplish not only mission, but our administrative functions. The latest one I picked up in the last 2 years is the director of the Coast Guard Cyber Command Pre-Commissioning Detachment. And again, your listeners know of the major growth that's been in the cyber arena, and that's a title area that I've picked up there. It's really interesting because the Coast Guard, being a DHS component, as well as being the Fifth Armed Service, we have responsibilities in both the DHS arenas as well as DOD arenas, and my Cyber Command hat really responds to both of those as well. So it's an interesting mix of missions and makes my job very interesting.
So how do you break that down? How do you oversee all of these different areas? Yes, they're all connected, but each day you could spend 24 hours a day on cyber. You could spend 24 hours a day on CIO requirements. How do you deal with all those different responsibilities?
You break them into portfolios, and you have very capable staffs working with you to oversee those portfolios on a day-to-day basis. I have direct reports from each one of those lines. I have a deputy director for cyber that does a majority of the day-to-day work in that arena. I have a field-facing organization that handles the tactical day-to-day operations of C4 IT, and I have a deputy CIO to assist me with those functions there. And again, you're right, they interblend amongst each other, and that's why we made some conscious decisions, again, with staffing limitations in the Coast Guard, that we really couldn't stand up a flag level or admiral level position to run each one of those. But the integration point, particularly from a strategic policy and budget standpoint, ends up in my office and at my position.
And you mentioned the other roles that you have in terms of you have to work with DHS because you're a DHS component. You work with the Defense Department, being the Fifth Military Service. How does that work together as well? Because DOD obviously has other responsibilities or other requirements that maybe the civilian agencies don't. But then again, you also have to worry about civilian agency requirements that maybe DOD doesn't have to deal with.
There are some challenges there, but to tell you the truth, the commonality is probably greater than one would think. And not only that, particularly in our DHS missions and our DOD missions, we can act as a bridge across those two organizations to find those commonalities and be able to leverage the best of both organizations to bring it to bear. I haven't found that to be a significant challenge. What I have found to be a challenge is that there are meetings in each one of those venues that I try to attend to make sure that we are representing Coast Guard equities in each one of those forums. But each day I find that they are coming closer together, particularly from a security paradigm as well as an IT management paradigm, that I do not find great significant differences across those. Again, there's some cultural differences, but realistically, I'm not having a problem navigating those. And I find strengths in each one of them I'm able to take and bring to each other.
Let's talk about your day-to-day work. Let's start with the CIO role. How does you as the CIO support that Coast Guard mission, which is obviously very wide and varied?
Yeah, and having spent 30 years growing up in this business, probably at no time, at least in my experience, has information technology, the capabilities desired, you know, and the impact that it has on these operations area been more intertwined into almost every single element, whether It's Qatar getting underway and doing their missions in the Bering or in the Eastern Pacific or in the Caribbean. They very much rely on the capabilities that my organization brings to bear, primarily through connectivity to our networks, communications capability to be able to collaborate and work with the other agencies that we work with on a day-to-day basis, and that includes state, federal, local, and even some private entities. So the CIO role, really from my level, from a governance standpoint, has really become the critical piece. And as we go into the tight economic and tight budget times that we're looking at, having the ability to focus and leverage to the best of our abilities, those capabilities are going to become more and more critical each day.
So your day-to-day as a CIO, for instance, you're spending a lot of it on the strategy issues, the budget issues, the policy issues. As you said, you have someone who kind of helps run the day-to-day. Where do you spend most of your time between your three different hats?
Right now, I would say probably I spend 70% of my day working the CIO and the C4IT issues and the remainder of it in the cybersphere. It varies day to day. And again, I'm having to really focus, particularly in these times, on the strategic level as well as particularly the budgetary. That is becoming probably 50% of my day as we go into budget builds and we look at the programs that are coming down from OMB, from the department, and figuring out strategically how the Coast Guard is going to meet these objectives, work with the department to really derive how we're going to, one, continue mission execution and meet budget objectives that are being laid out for our nation.
I was at a breakfast recently, and Richard Spires, the Homeland Security CIO, spoke about how he asked each of the component CIOs to look at their infrastructure spending and see if it can be cut by 10%. And he came back and said, this is during an event, he said, you know, everyone was able to do that. Is that the type of thing you're looking at, where when you get these requests, these edicts, if you will, from higher above to say, okay, how can we make IT more efficient? How can we make IT give us more for less?
If I look at my desk here right now, you know, those are the things that I'm reviewing. I just got off of a phone call with Mr. Spires and the rest of the DHS CIO Council. And I will tell you that this is probably the arena that is really starting to, you know, bring the potential together. You know, we have 22 components in DHS. We have a CIO council that is led by Mr. Spires, and we meet biweekly to review across all of the components with department oversight of what are the opportunities out there. Again, we've taken in literally a decade and stitched together 22 individual components to operate in this department environment. We're able to now sit down, look across our organizations, find who might have best of breed capabilities in various different areas, whether it's human resource management, whether it's financial resource management, who has a great common operational picture, and versus all of us investing in individual stovepipes, we're starting to find who has best of breed, and instead of each of us recapitalizing a capability, finding the ability to move over and have one component be a service provider of choice for one type of service, or the department to identify programs where they can take components, bring them together, satisfy as many of the requirements as we possibly can, and have an enterprise solution. And these enterprise solutions, you know, start codifying under OMB 25-point plan, whether it be data center consolidation, and particularly the opportunities to offer capabilities as a service from an enterprise standpoint, a department enterprise standpoint, not just a component enterprise standpoint. So we're turning over every stone. The infrastructure data call is just part of those pieces such that we can get really a feel of what's out there, who has what and who has those types of capabilities that may be able to be reused, particularly when some of us are facing major recapitalization bills as we take, you know, legacy enterprise and they need to be turned over.
All right. Sounds like you're giving us a little bit of a hint about some of your priorities. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, that's what we'll delve into. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ, good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer. Now, Bob, before break, we're talking a little bit about all the different hats you wear. One thing that I think a lot of people who listen to my show are interested in is the makeup of your office, the IT budget for your office, for the Coast Guard more broadly. Give us a sense of how many contractors you have, how many federal employees you have, how many coasties you have, and then what was your IT budget for 2011 and beyond?
Here in Washington, D.C. at my Coast Guard headquarters, the CIO staff is right around 169 personnel. Believe it or not, my cyber staff is about 20 people in hopes that we're going to grow in that area. Enterprise-wide, the Coast Guard employs about 2,800 people, and this is, again, worldwide support for C4 IT CIO functions. And again, the split there is predominantly military, but we do have about 15% of our employees in that area that are civilian employees. I do rely very heavily on contract support, particularly at the enterprise level, managing my enterprise data systems, as well as the technical support that is needed to deploy radars, develop new radar systems, new communication systems. So, again, we're about a one-third contractor capability across the Coast Guard. Right now, say my FY12 budget's running in the area of about $489 million. And, again, that's across a broad range of capabilities, not specifically purely IT, but that covers, again, that broad range of communications, satellite communications, radars, radios, you name it. So relatively small, but with nationwide, worldwide impact, and roughly it's about a 20th of the Coast Guard budget is wrapped up in C4 IT, IT services.
The one-third contractor capability, so your ratio is basically 1-3 contractors to Coast Guard. Is that ratio good? Are you trying to reduce that ratio?
We've done some of that. You know, what we've really done in previous years is looking, again, at work that really becomes inherently governmental. But to tell you the truth, the skill sets that I require, particularly system development, operating some of our data centers and those capabilities, I can't grow that type of skill set in-house. And thus, I'm going to have a dependence on the constantly shifting type of capabilities that are needed out there. The best source for me to get them from is from the contract environment. The cost, and as I say, really the shift. You know, 1 year this capability needs this type of talent. You can't grow it yourself. I need to draw from industry to bring that in-house to assist my management oversight personnel to provide those capabilities that we need out to the Coast Guard. I don't see that shift changing drastically. There are pressures from within the federal government to try and reduce the number and amount of contracts we have out there. Again, that's just a result of budget pressures, but many of these skill sets I am not, and it's not efficient for me to try and grow them in-house because some of them are very short-lived. Some of them last 5-10 years. Some of them last only a couple of years where I need to bring that expertise in. I really don't see drastic changes there. But, again, there are going to be budget pressures that are going to probably have impact on my ability to go out, reach out, and grab some of the services and capabilities I need.
And speaking of budget pressures, as you mentioned, your FY 2012 budget is about $489 million. Let's talk about how you're going to spend that money. What are some of your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months?
To tell you the truth, the majority of those funds are to sustain capabilities that we have already in place, and they're quite extensive. The areas where we are doing investment is particularly recapitalization of Coast Guard capabilities, as well as bringing new assets that are already on the books, particularly our national security cutters, our brand new fast response cutters, and some of the other new C4ISR capabilities that have been in the works over the last 10, 15 years are starting to come online and to, one, sustain their capabilities, and in some cases upgrade, you know, as they've moved into production. There are constantly changes. Let's talk about information assurance and security. A good chunk of my budget goes to meeting new security standards as they evolve. And as you know, and as your listeners know, these are changing day in and day out as the cybersecurity threats constantly evolve. We need to go back into legacy systems as well as our systems that are starting to be deployed and do those upgrades necessary to meet not only DOD and DHS security objectives, but to ensure that, you know, these will pass certification and accreditation and have the authority to operate on our .mil networks.
Talk a little bit about some of those C4ISR capabilities you said that have been in the works for 10 or 15 years. This seems to be you guys are on the back end of that. What are some of the newest capabilities you hope to either get in place this year or already are in place and you hope to expand?
As I say, most of them are really finishing off sensor capabilities that are being installed aboard our newest cutters out there, our national security cutter, as well as our new aircraft and bringing those capabilities to bear. It's across the board. And the bottom line is to enhance our ability to do maritime domain awareness, to really understand what's going on in the maritime environment, to look at targets of interest, classify those targets of interest, apply intelligence to further enhance so that we are searching smarter, that we're going from point A to point B and going to a target out there, be it a drug smuggler, migration, human smugglers, or even in our fisheries arena, to be able to identify exactly which targets we want to go out and take a look at. Gone are the days of we're just patrolling around in an area and hoping we stumble across a target. Now, using these new systems, we're able to take, apply intelligence, and smartly leverage those capabilities and get them on target and prosecute our missions.
There's been a big push across government around data center consolidation. I know DHS has been in leader going to their two data centers. How does that affect you guys? Are you guys heading down that path to the DHS data centers as well?
Absolutely. And again, we're looking in-house to collapse just the number of data centers that we have, and we're looking for opportunities to leverage Data Center 1 and Data Center 2 at DHS, as well as the potential ability to use DISA data centers. Again, because we are a .mil entity, we have a smorgasbord that we can look at. And additionally, we're looking at using private cloud. I mean, I have initiatives out there right now. My HR system is in the private cloud and has been for a while. And, you know, we're looking at the business case of keeping it out there or moving it into one of the DHS, DISA, or one of our own data centers. So this is an objective across government. It makes sense. As one starting to look at recapitalizing servers across their data centers, and we have other capabilities that are much more modern, why not take advantage of them if the security requirements can be met, particularly if you're looking at private cloud, and that our business case is well covered, it makes sense to go do this. You're reducing, one, your capital investment in infrastructure, two, you're reducing power, you're reducing facilities, and we believe there are economies there. It's a balancing act. You have to, again, make sure that your business processes and business cases are being met. But we're finding opportunities out there, and we're constantly in discussion with DHS, with DOD, to identify those opportunities and meet those objectives that are laid out by the OMB 25-point plan, as well as be good citizens and stewards of the taxpayer money and fully participate with the rest of my CIOs on the DHS CIO Council.
You piqued my interest with two things, efficiencies and cloud. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hit upon those two subjects. But first, you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to AHRQ.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer. Now, Bob, before break, we were talking a lot about your priorities, and one of them you brought up, you said the two favorite things, IT efficiencies and cloud computing. Give me a sense of how you guys are driving efficiencies in your IT, and then give me a sense of how maybe cloud fits into that to maybe some areas you're thinking about cloud.
We've had a couple of efficiencies. Again, all of your CIOs will tell you they're being driven by efficiencies and to meet budget objectives. Here's a perfect example of one that we just finished up, a centralized service desk. The Coast Guard, again, with those 2,800 people throughout the entire world, I had regional help desks, particularly for computer support for all of our 55,000 people. Those regional desks were only open from generally 6 in the morning until 5 in the evening. We did a business case analysis and said, if I centralize that capability, I have the potential, one, to save some money, and two, leverage a centralized capability to provide 24/7, 365 coverage. Every time you talk about moving something out of a region, folks in the region feel like they're not going to get very good service. We were able to recently complete a 1.5-year effort to centralize all Coast Guard IT support to a centralized service desk out of St. Louis. And we've had phenomenal success. We were able to save $2.5 million recurring per year and at the same time expand service 24/7, 365. We've leveraged some very new capabilities using Remedy software as well as a very state-of-the-art Avaya telephone system, and we've had phenomenal success. A good example of the drive where that efficiency also paid off in terms of business process is the number of tickets that would have been left open at one of our larger regional centers at the end of the day, somewhere in the area of 100, 150, is now what's left over nationwide, worldwide at the end of the day at the centralized service desk. So an example of if you take and do the business process review, find the right tools, you can derive efficiencies. Again, in cloud, we're looking for opportunities out there, as many of the other federal agencies have. Example, moving to email as a service from a private cloud vendor versus having to have an entire exchange architecture behind you. We're looking at some of those opportunities, particularly to serve subsets of our organization. We have the Coast Guard Auxiliarist. Believe it or not, we have it's a private group of volunteers who help us day in and day out prosecute our missions. And they say they work weekends. Sometimes they volunteer during the week. Building an email system for them that's outside of our corporate email but has the interfaces in is perfect for a cloud type of provider where I can provide them with basic email, documents, those types of capabilities. And as I discussed earlier, we do have some of our core capabilities. My HR system for military is in the private cloud and will be coming up for competition here in the very near future where we'll recompete that capability, most likely, again, in the private cloud.
One of the things that is interesting that you're hearing a lot about in addition to cloud is mobile computing. It sounds like the Coast Guard may be a very interesting case study around mobile, knowing that many of your cutters and other ships are obviously out and having the ability to have mobile access to networks would seems like a good thing. Give me a sense of where you guys are thinking about mobile computing.
We're leveraging mobile computing daily. And again, it's the nature of Coast Guard missions where we have Coast Guard personnel who are out and about in the ports. They're very highly mobile and generally disconnected from the office, visiting ports, being aboard vessels coming into our nation, operating just offshore where they're, within good connectivity to our cellular-based systems and other systems. We're leveraging it. And as I say, we're working very closely, in particular, with DOD and DHS, because when you get into the mobile arena, what's the big question there? Security. And again, being a .mil entity, I have numerous security concerns that I have to address to be within due bounds of the .mil environment to protect that network, as well as DHS as well. We're currently piloting. We have been primarily on a Win 6X mobile environment. We're piloting moving over to Android and to iPhone OSs. There are issues there. We're working, again, closely with our partners over at DOD and DHS to find the mitigations. And I'm telling you, in industry, this is an area where you need to help us out. You need to help out DOD, help out DHS and the federal government, period. We want to leverage these capabilities. We want to build applications that work with our back end, such as our highly mobile workforce that's out there day in and day out, working state, federal, local, and private, have the ability to reach back into my enterprise infrastructure securely, such that we can leverage these capabilities.
All right, it's something else to look forward to as things go along. We'll be interested to know more about those pilots as well as they get going. You mentioned you need some vendors' help to make sure that you guys meet the ability to reach back into the enterprise infrastructure to meet security issues. Give me a sense of what should vendors know about working with your office.
We strive to be extremely open, transparent, and communicate frequently with industry. The best mechanisms that we have, and I think this will be our third industry day that we'll hold in August. I don't have the exact date yet, but essentially it's an office call for anybody who wants to talk to senior leadership. And not only that, I bring every single one of my product line leaders, and I bring their KOs there. And we will put up for all who come, and we broadcast it over the web for all who want to see what we're planning, what our strategic direction is for the year, what contract vehicles we're planning on using to acquire those resources, and in many cases, what the budget related is for those resources. I know out there in the vendor world, things are getting just as tight as it is here in the federal government. They don't have the money for the overhead to chase all over the city, all over the nation to find out where the next emerging thing is. This provides an opportunity in one location, in one full day informative session. I spend the entire day there. I will stand in line and talk to every single vendor who wants to talk to us. But better yet, they have all of my technical experts there. So watch for that announcement. It will be out in Commerce Business Daily. We also have links to the Coast Guard. They'll be broadcasted on there. And it is the forum because they know, I know, we all don't have time to try and set up individual meetings, but they will find, and most of the participants have been there, have said this has been a great forum for them to get a better understanding of where we're going and what is going to be available out there on the street for them to take and take a look at and see if their firm has exactly the right capabilities to bring to the table for us.
Well, it sounds like we could talk a little bit longer, but unfortunately we are out of time today. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Rear Admiral Robert Day, the Coast Guard's Chief Information Officer, Director of C4 and IT, and Director of the Cyber Command. Admiral Day, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.